All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? The sun is shining on an Friday here on The Usual Suspects. Everybody present and accounted for as we get ready for the weekend and get you ready for football, fun, funny, all different kinds of things. We got a comedian of the week that Barry's going to fill you in on, and we're going to have some fun here on a Friday leading you into the Blitz and then the weekend right here on ESPN 97.5. Without further ado, fellas, what's up? What's going on?
What up?
All good in the neighborhood. I know everybody stayed up late to watch that fantastic finish to that enthralling football game.
All night.
Holy boredom on the box last night.
I turned it off in the second. I don't know about you guys.
I never turned it on.
I was glued to it.
I was watching the TNT stuff, and the first basketball game was decent, the Bucks-Celtics for a while. But, oh, my God, I was like, boy, Nick, you weren't kidding when you said the matchups looked like, you know, because they normally suck on Thursday nights. They've had a few, but that was John Gruden's stealing money.
I think it's safe to say Nick Mullins is the MVP of the league right now. I think it's safe to say that. It's
bound to happen.
Talk about him like that.
Will he have a better game than he had in his debut, in his career?
No way.
I feel like it's all downhill from here, right?
I would agree.
He got lucky that he faced a horrible defense in the Raiders.
How horrible must you be when the third string quarterback for the Niners, who, by the way, had to come from behind and beat out Tom Savage for the job as he was finally cut today. But he was the third string quarterback. Beathard was hurt. We know Garoppolo was hurt. And he pelted the Raiders defense. It was absolutely embarrassing. Gruden's $10 million a year for that?
I'm telling you, I put this on my Twitters, and I really feel that this is just Gruden being two steps ahead of the league.
He
knows what he's doing. Look, the Raiders and the Niners hate each other, right? They're not friends. They don't like each other. They both had 1-7 and 1-6 records. The Niners were 1-7, Raiders were 1-6. The last thing the Raiders wanted was the Niners to get the first pick in the draft. So Gruden was like, you know what we'll do? We'll go out and we'll lose, and we'll make sure that we pick ahead of the Niners. He's playing chess. Everybody else is playing checkers. He's smart.
It remains to be seen because, you know, this has all the writings of the LeBron thing in the NBA where, you know, LeBron is saying all the right things right now because he already knows that behind the scenes they've said, you guys are just going to go out and get through this season, but next season we're going to bring in a couple of max guys and we're going to load the roster and then we're going to really go. And you hope that Gruden has that kind of plan because he has three number ones next year, this coming year. He's got two the following year. He's building up a bunch of draft picks. You know that he's one of those very, very blinders on, narrow-minded guys that says, I want my guys in my system. And that's part of this. But boy, he's let some good players go. And I mean, he's turned Derek Carr, who thankfully early in his career looked like he was the absolute opposite of David Carr. He's starting to look more like his brother every day.
I think if they were planning on that, like if he was just telling everybody, hey, listen, we know we're going to suck, but we have a plan, wouldn't you not bench Derek Carr? I mean.
I don't think so because you may need him going forward. I mean, one, you got to keep his trade value up some way if that's what you're going to do. And two, if you somehow believe that you're going to stick with this guy after this season, you can't completely annihilate all of his confidence. But my God, that's an embarrassment right now what they're doing. And he's got 9 more years on his contract, so he's not going anywhere.
I mean, I don't know. I certainly didn't see that coming from that team. In my picks, I had the Raiders. I took the Raiders I think they were the favorite. No, they might have been the underdog, but I took the Raiders because I didn't think this 49ers team, when you're having to choose between Mullins and Tom Savage and but man, 143 yards on the ground against the Raiders defense. Didn't see that coming. George Kittle went off, had a nice game, four catches, 108 yards. Yeah, the one-handed
catch was
ridiculous.
Fantastic.
I mean, it was no Andre Hopkins using his testicles catch, but it was pretty damn good. But man, that's that's it sucks if you're the Raiders, and it kind of sucks if you're the Niners, because if I'm the Niners at this point, I'm not trying to win. It's a three-horse race between the Giants, the Niners, and the Raiders for the first pick, and now you screwed it up a little bit.
I think getting what you said about Carr, though, the big thing is yeah, you want to have the first pick over the Niners, but at least you know the Niners don't need a quarterback because Garoppolo will be back. So they'll be looking more along the lines of, you know, skill position players and maybe adding to their defense. But they're not going to be hopefully looking for the same position players the Raiders are. Boy, the Raiders' running game. We had talked about Doug Martin.
Well, I mean, he averaged 4.5 yards a carry, which isn't bad, but it seems
that's because everybody thought they had to pass the rest of the game.
Yeah. If you're the Raiders, here's the conundrum for you. You've got all these picks. You've got all this. You're probably going to have a top five, top seven pick easily, right? Do you consider getting a quarterback?
I don't think there's any question in my mind.
Are you sold that Derek Carr's your guy?
No, because with all the things we've talked about, Gruden and ESPN and Quarterback University and all the things he's done over the years, and because of what I just said about how his ego says he's got to have his players, I just feel like more and more, and you listen to his quotes after every game, he's not a Derek Carr guy. He just doesn't seem like he's on the guy's side. And I think Derek Carr is going to be a guy that's going to be heavily shopped in the offseason, and Gruden's going to go out and want to groom his own guy. I just don't feel like Carr is Gruden's guy.
If I'm okay, so if that's true, then just trade the dude. Why didn't you trade him and get something
for him?
That's
my question.
You've benched him now. AJ McCarron has come in, and I don't know that he's, you know, the answer or any better. He only had 3 passes. But if he's not your guy, then you should have got something for him, right?
There's no guarantee that he hasn't at least inquired about trading him. Maybe he has, and no one really bid on it. I mean,
yeah.
Or he didn't want it to get out
there.
And
it never got leaked, you know.
Because the perception right now is Gruden's just an a-hole, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's turning this whole thing upside down. And after Cooper went, everybody said, well, Carr's next. And the other thing may be that he just couldn't have gotten the value that he thought he wanted to try and get out of Carr, because he hasn't looked good. And obviously the team hasn't either. But this ain't helping either. I mean, when they look as bad as they did last night, I just don't know how you salvage anything from Derek Carr because of the fact that, you know, the deadline's gone and the team's playing like ass. So I don't know what they do.
Yeah. After watching him, you have to think he's not a franchise guy, right?
For as good as he looked, what was it, before the injury, about a year and a half ago, and when he got the big deal, he has not even sniffed anywhere close to that since.
Nope. Nope.
And it does have a lot of his brother's career written all over it. Like, he's got his money now, and he's regardless of where he is, that money's going with him. He's getting paid. But boy, oh boy, it looks now suddenly like he's stealing money as opposed to a guy that was, you know, a Pro Bowl type quarterback that was putting up big numbers. And, you know, what was it, 2 years ago? That was the sexy pick to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought they were going to be pretty damn good. You know, a couple years ago, you kind of see some crap. But I thought also that getting Gruden was going to help because they looked a little worse for wear last year. And you thought maybe there's some, you know, some issues on this team. But then getting Gruden, you thought that was solidified. And it was the complete opposite
but
right
that's
now.
That's the thing, too. They got rid of a guy in Jack Del Rio who didn't exactly crap the bed. Jack Del Rio had them 2 years ago as a play. Like, think about that. He had them
in a
playoff team.
That's what I said right when they hired Gruden. That's exactly what I said. I was happy with Jack Del Rio. I know Sean Salisbury was happy with Jack Del Rio as well.
And Salisbury's a big Raiders guy. And the thing is, Del Rio did exactly what you want him to do. Got him to the playoffs. And if you recall, they had to play their, third-string quarterback against the Texans in the opening round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they got there, and that team was pretty good until they suffered a plethora of injuries. He got absolutely crapped all over and sent out of town for a guy that looks like he's turned it upside down.
Where did he land, by the way?
He didn't.
He's still out there?
But see, there's also, because he had a contract still, that's one of those deals where you take another job and, you know, then the Raiders don't have to pay him and there's all that kind of stuff. So I fully believe he'll resurface, but I don't think that he got a fair shake in Oakland at all.
Yeah. You're probably right, because it wasn't terrible. But that's, you know, look what happened in basketball with Coach of the Year in Toronto. Same thing, right? It's not unheard of.
Well, and then, you know, and the thing I would throw to you guys is because Hugh Jackson did First Take today. And I give him credit for coming out and actually being on live television, but he really didn't answer all that much.
Yeah.
But the question becomes, shouldn't Jack Del Rio already have a job? Because he won as a head coach, as opposed to Hugh Jackson, who's already plotting to be an offensive coordinator again next year. And it's like, I get it. People say he's a good offensive mind, but holy cow, the dude's record as a head coach was absolutely pathetic. And he was fighting with coaches and, you know, and the whole thing was in disarray. I would think Del Rio should have a job right away, whatever he wants to do.
You would think.
So, all right, we're just getting started. 713-780-3776 is our HR&P listener line if you want to call or text the show. 713-780-ESPN. And, of course, you can reach us via Twitter, which is at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny, and, of course, at the producer Nick.
Somebody said, hey, can you – this is a text. Can you guys explain spreads, point spreads and over-unders? I want to understand sports betting a little bit better. Yeah, it's actually not that difficult. So if you see us where it says, like, Dallas is minus 4.5, that means if they're minus 4.5, they have to – they start the game in a 4.5-point hole. So if the game ends 10-7 and Dallas has 10, the other team actually has 11.5 points and they would win the game. So that's what the minus and the plus points are. If you see a minus 110, that means you have to bet $110 to win 100. So you're out there and you say, all right, I think Dallas is going to win. I'm going to bet it. The line says it's a minus 110. You put down $110. If they do win and cover, then you get $100 plus the 110 back. So you get $210 total. So, and you could do all that at MyBookie, which is awesome because, man, it's important to know those things, but it's also important to know that the place you're betting with is going to pay you when you win, and you want to make sure you get paid. A lot of places out there, they'll take your money, but it's a difficult, difficult process to get it back, and that is not the case with MyBookie. When you win, you get paid, and that's what I like about them. They're safe. They're reliable. They've been in business for years. It's why I recommend them. It's why when I finally decided to actually start putting some action on games, I went with MyBookie because who you're betting with is as important, if not more important, than who you're betting on because you want to make sure you get paid. They have the most rewarding player perks in the business as well, and that's just incentives for you. They have that. They have in-game live betting, so if you missed getting in on some action before the game started, you can still play a game within the game itself. And for you fantasy guys, if you're betting the over-under on fantasy points that a player will get, you just have an extra fun. You're watching these games, you're playing fantasy, and now you can bet over-under on fantasy points each game. Super easy to get signed up. Just go to mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. Sign up now. They will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. Just use promo code RADIO and get that dollar-for-dollar match. That's MyBookie. That's MYBOOKIE. If you're searching for it, MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I've had a weird week. I just found out that my ex-girlfriend got deported. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy how a call to immigration could give you closure, you know what I'm saying? You leave me, you leave the country, woman. You break up with Tripoli, you're breaking up with America, huh?
Hey, you heard the man, Sam Tripoli. He's our comedian of the week on an F Yeah Friday, F4 Funny, and Barry will give you a little bit of a backstory about a guy that happens to be in H-Town this weekend.
Yeah, broke in at the Comedy Store, working the door, got moved his way up. Now he's headlining all over the country. Tinfoil Comedy Hat is the tour he's doing with Eddie Bravo. They will be at the Secret Group over there off Polk on Saturday. So I thought we were supposed to have Eddie Bravo on yesterday and talk a little comedy. Talk a little jiu-jitsu, talk a little UFC. Our phone lines crapped the bed, so we were unable to do that. So I thought, what the heck? Let's show them some love. Since they're in town, that counts as a Houston connection. They're performing tomorrow night. So Sam Tripoli is your man. Funny dude, too. And he's worked with some of the best. He's kind of associated with that group that Ari Shaffir, Joe Rogan, Eddie Bravo, Joey Coco Diaz, kind of that whole crew. So he's in with those guys. So you know he's a funny cat.
Kind of keeps it tight. You know, it doesn't have too much space in between his jokes.
Not a lot of wasted words, which is a sign of a really good comic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I heard you pulling them together, and he's got some funny stuff. So good stuff. If you have nothing to do, get out to the Secret Group on Saturday night and go see Sam. We'll have clips also at 2:15, 3:15. So we'll have three different opportunities, including the one you just heard, for you to catch up on a little comedy right there. So we'll continue to roll on. I guess the other thing that we didn't mention on the game last night, and again, if you missed it, I don't blame you because the game sucked. But the biggest two things to take away from the game were, boy, Raiders fans just keep on fighting. Forget about if their team quit. Their fans keep fighting. There were fights all over in that game last night. If you watch social media at all, everybody was throwing dukes. And it seemed like the Niners fans, as much as they had the upper hand on the field, were taking an ass whooping in the stands. And the other thing was a cheerleader knelt for the anthem last night. For the Niners.
That's weird.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I would think that this is going to be something that not a lot of people caught or paid attention to. And especially for the networks, they're obviously not shooting the cheerleader lines for the anthem. But there was two separate shots of a 49ers cheerleader kneeling in the end zone during the national anthem. The Niners declined comment about the situation. But you got to believe we haven't heard the end of that either.
No, not especially with the cheerleader doing it. It's weird how this always seems to emanate from the Niners organization. You know, they're just like, really? Can we just go through a year without some controversy, please? We don't want to be known as that team.
Well, and that's the
just
thing.
Just get that feeling
the
that
thing
they're
too,
like, man.
You hope that if she did it, she truly did it with the right reasons at heart and not for the fact that if she did it on a national TV game that she's drawing attention.
Right.
And then she'll get interviews. And then hopefully her aspiring acting and modeling career takes off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
You know, have the right reasons if you're going to do something like that.
By the way, I don't want to forget to mention, at 1:30, we'll be joined by Bob Perez, Crew Bob, who is Derek Lewis's cornerman, with the big fight coming up tomorrow night, UFC 230, Derek Lewis versus Daniel Cormier for the heavyweight title. So we'll get Bob's thoughts on Derek's camp and how it's been going and what they've been working on. And is he a wrestling aficionado now? And no way Daniel Cormier takes him down. That's all tongue-in-cheek. So, yeah, he'll be joining us at 1:30. Cody Stutes at 2:30.
And he's been on with us in the past, so he's good stuff. So we'll get some good information there. We're going to have to ask him about the diet and the Popeye's chicken.
Did you hear when Derek came
not
out?
Not the other diet, just the Popeye's chicken.
They asked Derek. He was on court somewhere. He was, I'm guessing, in New York, in Madison Square Garden, because they were playing there. But he was on the court, and a reporter asked him, what's your pre-fight diet like? Let's just say that it involved Derek Lewis and his wife and certain anatomy parts, and we'll just leave it at that. And I was like, wow, Derek just does not care. Yeah, he was just saying anything anywhere.
It was so set up, teed up for him too, because it was like, what are you going to eat leading up to your fight? And he was like, uh-oh.
He said, well, if my wife is in town, I'll eat. And then he said,
mind if I'm ask you a question?
Yeah, I'm not going to, Nick and I have already kind of maybe been in trouble for that. So
he doesn't know. I mean, good thing is one.
Good thing he can say it.
He obviously loves his wife, because even when he's been on with us, he is very, very open about the fact that they love each other very much, let's say. But yeah, even in that, he does not care what he says. He doesn't hold back.
No, and good for him, and it's worked. That dude is over 1.3 million Instagram followers. At the time of the fight, this last fight, when Rogan said, yo, y'all need to go, best Instagram in the business by far is Derek Lewis. He was at around 800,000. So since that fight, which was, 3 weeks ago? He's gone from 800,000 to 1.3 million.
Gotta love that.
That's crazy.
That's great good for him.
And they get paid off of that, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Michael Carroll was trying to get me to start a Twitch account.
You should.
Do you know, remember we talked about this before? It's where people go watch other people play video games.
I have encouraged you to do this for a long period of time. It's something that I've been very much up to speed with, and I think that it's something that you should take advantage of. I'm just disappointed you haven't gotten there yet.
Joel has no idea what Twitch is.
No, you know what Twitch is? Twitch is this account where you go online and people watch you play video games. I'm just letting you know.
Someone's been listening. But I was like, dude, I don't know that they would want to watch that. So I kind of threw the feelers out there. Turns out, I think people would watch.
Here's the thing that you should know. Of all people, if people will watch people scratch off lottery tickets,
Hey, leave
they
my
will
boy.
Watch you play video games. I'm not.
My boy, they are platinum. They're not that easy. They're not that hard to start.
I was telling John because John was saying you should do it, and I was like, you know, it's weird. He goes, dude, there are people with like millions of followers that they just play, and it's just because they have a good time, and they just tune in to laugh and watch. And I was like, yeah, I could probably do that. And then he was asking me, he goes, then you could transfer it to YouTube. How many followers do you have? And I was like, I'm up over 1,000. He goes, how'd you get 1,000 on YouTube? I was like, my boy AR Platinum hooked it up. He was like, one day, he goes, man, when do you get your numbers up? And I was like, ah, whatever. You know, you hear that all the time.
So I'm saying, I'm not AR bagging Platinum's on the guy. The dude can do it with lottery tickets. You can do it with video games. And then if you get technically savvy, because I know you're behind the times, you could bookend your games against people. With little 10-second, like you got to wait for the clip when, like, on Taylor, on the kids, when Taylor's watching YouTube, and I got to hit the skip button. Or yeah, so she can get, I was like, you go, hey, this is Barry Laminack, before I get my ass kicked in Red Dog Redemption or whatever, too, I'm going to freaking tell you about, I'm a comedy tour, and you can see me at a couple different places coming up.
All right, so I signed up for a Twitch account. I did it. Last night, wife was asleep. I did one test video. But I was like, all right, maybe I'll just do this as a trial. And you know what? If nothing else, when I'm playing, I'll just flip it on. And if the wife's not there, I'll talk and have some fun. So if you want to follow me on Twitch, I don't expect
any. At Barry is funny?
At Barry is funny. I thought I'd keep it simple. If you're following me on Twitter, same one. So at Barry is funny. So I have no idea what to do. I have one follower right now. And I'm sure it's just somebody that's out there that follows everybody so that they get followed back or something. I was like, whatever. But this will be interesting.
Without question. There you go. So we've got ideas.
Also, I'll curse a lot. So don't, if you're sensitive to that, don't.
Earmuffs. Well, there's a setting. Yeah. There's a setting. Where
I did say, when I set my channel up, I said mature content. Right. But that just means I was going to play with no pants on.
You can't do
with
that.
With the cam?
Mature or not. You
I'm just
going to
have like a ball cam.
Are you going to blur yourself out, sir?
No.
Well, then you can't do that. Can't do that. Oh, well. Not allowed.
All right. I'll come up with a different game plan to get subscribers.
Speaking of digitized private parts, or at least ones that are going to be different colors.
I can't wait for this transition.
Wait till you hear the audio we have of Chris Sims talking about the time that Vince Wilfork hit him a little below
good
the
stuff.
Belt.
Oh.
Yeah, he said his genitals became Lakers fans.
Oh, no. What?
We'll see exactly.
What does that mean?
That's a tease. We'll tell you what we mean. Hey, Aggie Joe, hang in there. We'll get you in a minute. You want to talk a little bit about... Oh, what a shocker. Aggie football. That's crazy. We're going to continue to move on. Hey, it's the usual suspects. We're going to take a break, come back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. First half hour of the show behind us, but still plenty to go on The Usual Suspects on an FYI Friday. If you missed any of the first two segments, you missed the fact that we do indeed have a comedian today for our Comedian of the Week for F is for Funny in FYI, and it's Sam Tripoli. So we played a clip at 1:15. We'll also have two more at 2:15, 3:15. Little housekeeping, crew Bob, Robert Perez. Going to be with us here momentarily as we get into the big fight this weekend, the UFC Rumble. Derek Lewis with local ties.
Yep.
Without further ado, Crew Bob is on hold and ready to go. Bob, what's up?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Welcome back, man. It seems like we just talked last week.
Yeah, man. It's been a couple of weeks, I guess.
Yeah, I see you out there moving and shaking. How's New York treating you so far? Good?
Dude, New York is actually really awesome, man. People aren't very nice, but that was expected. But really, really cool city, man. We're having a really good time. And like I said before, we just, you know, want to enjoy the entire experience. You know, we kind of want to enjoy every moment of this.
Very cool, man. You say they're not very nice because they recognize you and they've got things to say about the fight, or just because, in my experiences, you're dead on. They're just not very nice.
They just look angry all the time. So, yeah.
You're just used to that Southern hospitality. Dude,
that's what we're used to.
What has the last month been like for you and the fight camp and Derek? And what has this process been like? Because, man, I mean, fight camps are usually 6 weeks, right?
6 to 8 weeks is pretty normal. Basically, Derek fought Volkov on Saturday. On Monday, we get the call saying that this is a possibility. On Tuesday, it was confirmed, and I believe Wednesday it was announced. But once, like, Derek got word of it on Monday, he started running, you know, and starting to move again with no rest. He's still beaten up from the previous fight, broken finger. Then we had to get him to the doctor to get released. It was another 4 days before he could hit anything or start wrestling. So, I mean, the reality of it is, and then, you know, we're up here a week. He had about a two-and-a-half-week camp. But so did D.C., you know. And D.C. hadn't fought since July, and he's coming off a broken hand. So, you know, but we just finished a fight camp, so it was just basically a continuation of our previous one.
Yeah, that's a good point. And there's no way I was listening. Derek did an interview with AJ on the Blitz a couple of days ago, and he brought up a great point. And I wanted to ask you, there's no way that you even try to focus on wrestling at this point, right? It's just do what
you
do.
Yeah, man. I mean, you're not going to out-wrestle DC. And like I said before, we're not going to wrestle him. We're going to try to fight him, Derek, and try to, you know, punch him in the face, you know. And obviously, you know, you must address his wrestling. He's an Olympian, and we're not dumb. We realize that. So, of course, Derek has been wrestling a lot with Bubba Bush and the guys out of BVMMA. He's got a lot of really big guys that can mimic DC's style. We've been studying him a lot. And all we can do is just anticipate certain things that he does. But we're not going to out-wrestle DC. We're gonna fight him.
So how are you going to pace? I mean, if you're trying to fight him, and if hopefully you can land that big KO, but if you're trying to fight him, do you think you'll be able to do that if he's being super defensive, if he's not necessarily accelerating in terms of an offensive standpoint? Is that going to be a concern for you with Derek Lewis going into this fight?
I firmly believe that DC will not stay outside with Derek. Derek's got about 8 inches, almost 8 inches in reach on him. And he doesn't want to feel that power. He's never, ever been hit the way, you know, Derek Lewis can hit him. That being said, he's going to, you know, try to fight inside that mid-range boxing, dirty boxing. That's what he excels at. He's going to look to put Derek on the fence, look to wear him out, look for the single leg. But that doesn't go. He's going to go for the high crotch, and then he's going to just try to grind it out. Can he take Derek down? Absolutely. Can he hold Derek down? Absolutely not. You know, there's not a man alive that can do that. When Derek is ready to get up, he's going to get up, and that's where the danger is going to present himself for DC.
It sounds like you've been busy studying tape. Do you do a lot of tape? I'm guessing, and I mean, knowing Derek, Derek's not a guy that's going to sit down and watch tape. He's going to come to you and say, what do you want me to do? How much film study have you done in preparation for this fight?
I do a lot of it, man. We know exactly, you know, what DC does to chain. I know the punches that he comes in with. I know what he likes to counter with. I know his you know, good tendencies, and I know his bad tendencies. That's my job. I study tape all the time. Derek does as well. He might not, you know, let on that he does, but Derek's a lot more cerebral, you know, in his approach than people think, as far as knowing his enemy, knowing his opponent. Derek's a smart cat, man, and he knows what DC, you know, can bring to the table. And, you know, we like DC, we respect DC, and he's a great champion and a really good person, you know, but, you know, during that fight, Derek is just going to try to debo that strap from him.
I was going to say, is it weird that these guys get along? I mean, you're kind of used to Derek, you know, he snatched Volkov's hat off of him or knocked it. Has it been kind of weird that these guys are friendly and get along leading up to this?
No, man. I mean, they're both professionals. Now Derek does, and I don't know what's going to happen at weigh-ins. I don't know if Derek's going to get in his face, you know, but Derek kind of has to go to his bad place. You know, he has to get angry. Derek, you know, he said it in interviews before, you know, it's really hard. He's like, man, I'm not a psychopath. I'm not a sociopath. I don't just like to beat people up. It's hard for a lot of guys, man, especially, you know, fighting guys you like, somebody that's not, you know, done anything to you, you know, to go beat them up. You know, they understand that it's part of the job, but it's kind of a hard thing. So that's why Derek has to think about certain things in his past, or, you know, think of certain things, you know, to motivate and fire him up, get him angry.
But that's been kind of the positive of this. Normally, when you're trying to promote a fight, it's kind of better when the two fighters hate each other. But in this situation, they don't hate each other, and yet it's still an entertaining promotion leading up to the fight.
No, absolutely, man. You know, I think, you know, you don't have to hate, you know, your opponent. I know that it can make for good, you know. I'm going to go into the bathroom, guys, because people are starting to come in. So if I have a little echo, I'm sorry. you know, you don't have to hate each other to fight. I do understand, like, the heel in the face from wrestling and you know, talking smack and this and that. But I think people actually appreciate, you know, the respect and the sportsmanship a lot. And I think it shows a very good side to the sport.
Is it, cardio has obviously been one of those things that Derek has always had to stay on top of and work on. And sometimes he's had it and sometimes he has not had it in fights. And we saw that with Ngannou. I think he dug down and found some stuff against Volkov and had enough left in the tank. How do you manage that? Because I don't think a lot of fight fans, kind of the average fight fan, doesn't realize just how much cardio it takes just to have a wrestler on top of you. How do you help manage that with Derek?
Well, so first of all, let's talk a little bit, if that's okay, about Derek's cardio.
Yeah.
And Derek, like I said, if you believe, you know, anything coming out of Derek's mouth after a fight or before a fight, God help you, like I said. But I want you to really think about this, and I want you to look at Derek's breathing in between rounds and compare that to other fighters. Now, people say, oh, he's tired, he's gassed. It's how he moves, Barry. He's lethargic and slow, and he's very smart with his conservation of energy. He is an alligator. He is a crocodile. He waits and waits and waits and snaps. You'll see a lot of fighters, you know, when a guy is truly gassed or, you know, no gas in the gas tank or a little left, you see this, bro. They're swinging from their hips. There's nothing on it. With 15 seconds left in the fight, look how he exploded on Volkov. A gassed fighter cannot move that way. But you know, if people are expecting Derek to move like TJ Dillashaw, they're morons. But what I like to tell, and I've trained you, you're my boy, but what I like to tell most guys that bring it up, I basically ask them, you think you can whip Derek's ass? Well, no, shut the hell up.
No, I don't.
Shut your damn mouth. But going to your question, preparing, you know, for a wrestler like DC, somebody that's going to grind and grind and grind and wear you out, you have to kind of mimic that situation. You know, the best way to prep for a fight is to fight. And you have to obviously do it in a controlled way. But, you know, I saw Derek, you know, several times in the last few weeks have two-hour sessions of very, like, live wrestling rounds, some drilling, some more live rounds. Dude, he's ready to go, man. I think he's going to have more gas in the gas tank than DC.
Nice.
Well, so that lethargic look that you're talking about, it feels like it reminds me of like the Diaz brothers, especially Nate, where he kind of just waits, 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 then he slaps you, and he does kind of look tired in the process. Would you compare that kind of situation, at least in terms of the way Nate Diaz moves around in the ring? Perhaps he looks a little more tired.
I think that's a very fair, very, you know, realistic comparison. You know, Derek is a big guy, and it doesn't take a lot to drain a fighter, you know, especially a man that big. You know, come fight day, Derek is almost 300 pounds, and I think people forget about that. But like I said, you know, he conserves and goes, you know, and like you said with Diaz, you know, I think it's a fair comparison.
Well, how do you see this going? I mean, is this going to go five rounds? Is this what, man, what's the game plan here? How does this go?
I am flying armbar for Derek for sure. Definitely win by flying armbar.
Rakim, watch out.
I believe in Derek, you know, completely, dude. Love the guy. Believe in his abilities. He believes in his abilities. I don't like to make predictions about, you know, rounds, but, man, it's either going to be, you know, first round or I like either first or third round, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's not like we've, like, prepped, hey, we're finishing him this round or we're finishing him this one. I just think with the way that the fight might move with its momentum, I can just see Derek finishing, you know, either really quick or, you know, possibly later in the third. I don't see it going into championship rounds.
It's so funny because there's a saying in mixed martial arts that everyone's a black belt till they get punched in the face, and everyone's an Olympic wrestler until Derek Lewis punches you in the face, and then all
bets
are off.
That's what people don't
man.
Understand, dude. Yeah. He's fought some, you know, Gonzaga. He in like one of the best black belts to ever, be in this game, you know, not an issue. You know, Roy Nelson, high level black belt, you know, it was a tough fight, not an issue. Rochalt, you know, wrestled at OSU, not an issue. Derek, like I said, man, you know, people can say he's not this or he's not that. You know, dude, he's a savant with fighting. The guy knows himself, he knows his body. He knows how to fight, and that's the best way I can explain it, man.
Well, I know you're busy. Thank you for taking time out of your day to join us. That's Crew Bob Perez. All the best to you guys this weekend. And like I told you when I texted you, man, I know how hard you've worked to get to this point, and I want to make sure you enjoy this moment while you're out there, man. So I'm happy man. For you. Congratulations, and you guys go bring that home for H-Town.
Thank you so much, Barry. We're going to give it our best.
There you go. All right, Crew Bob Perez is joining us on the HRMP listener line. You had something, Nick, you were going to look like you were going to add something.
I was
there.
Just thinking, Bob, but yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah, man. It's I'm excited for this fight. It's going to be great. And I haven't even looked at the odds yet, but if you want to get some money on it, I might, depending on what the odds are, I may have to back my boy on my bookie and throw a little scratch Derek Lewis's way, because that's the beautiful thing about you MMA fighting is everybody has a puncher's chance. There's no better puncher in the world than Derek Lewis. So I'm going to hop on the app here in just a second. And you can too. If you haven't bet yet and you want to maybe start getting some action on the game, and maybe UFC is the first thing you want to do and back your hometown fighter, Derek Lewis, hop on MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is the place to do that. It's safe. It's reliable. They've been in business for years. It's a great place to go and get some action on any game that's out there. They have in-game live betting, which means after it's already started, you can go ahead and bet while the game is going on. So if you missed out at the beginning, you can still get some action going there. The thing I like about them, man, I keep preaching this, and it's so important, but they pay you when you win. You want to get your money out when you're ready to get your money out, and you can do that with MyBookie, because who you're betting on is as important as who you're betting with. Do it with MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is the website to get signed up. I've mentioned it before, but they have horse racing. Fred talks about betting on CFL football. You can do that. Just about, you can bet on Raheel shooting the three-point shots. You can bet on just about anything, and you can do it with MyBookie and do it safely at the same time. They have rewarding player perks for you to get involved with. I mentioned the in-game live betting. They have the fantasy points, so if you want to bet the over-under on fantasy football points that a player will score in a game, you can do that as well. MyBookie.ag to sign up. When you sign up, use promo code RADIO, and they will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. Promo code RADIO, dollar for dollar match. What are you waiting for? Do it right now. If you're driving, pull over. If you're at work, pull up that web browser. Go to MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to an FEF Friday on The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5 standing alone till 3, and then we will have the sports mappers join us from then on, taking you till 4. Then we hand it off to the Blitz, and they do the same, taking you till 7 on the simulcast. If you missed anything along the way, we always encourage you to get on ESPN975.com. Check out what you've missed by clicking on the show tab and checking out the podcast. Robert Perez, Crew Bob, Derek Lewis's sidekick just joined us with a big fight this weekend. You guys will break that down, I'm sure, at some point. Cody Stute's going to join us at 2:30. We also covered a little bit about the boring football game last night and some other things. So
Kevin Ziegler on Twitter said, can the Rockets be your featured comic of the week next week?
Depends on how the weekend goes. Depends on how the weekend goes.
You know what's funny? Because I was starting to make a comparison last night, and then I just ran out of care on Twitter. But I was going to make the point that the Raiders kind of mimic the Rockets in many ways. Got rid of their best defenders, and now look, they're such a joke. It's kind of a similar situation going on.
And I always just want to make sure that people say,
similar records right now too.
People keep in mind Jeff Bezdelic. Because as much as the players play the game, Jeff Bezdelic, I don't think people are giving enough credit, credence, whatever you want to say, to the fact that that dude not only knew what he was doing, but, man, he got everybody to buy in to do what he wanted them to do, and they are not doing it right now. Because, yeah, Ariza and Mbamute had something to do with the way they played defense, but the whole team has just put a whole lot of quit into the way they play that end of the floor. And with Bezdelic, they were diving on the floor. They were rotating. They were talking. You see none of that. Even if you're not a big basketball aficionado, you can just watch body language and how many guys get their doors blown off with guys going right down the middle of the lane and go, that's a whole lot different than a year ago. So, and I'm hearing Harden's not going to play tonight.
Oh, really? He's out again?
So he, as much as I thought and assumed, and then with some of the videos we saw coming out of practice, that he looked like he was ready to go and he would be ready for Friday night in Brooklyn. Jonathan Fagan was reporting this morning that it looked like they're going to hold him out at least one more game.
Ooh. Hamstrings are tricky. I've always talked about how they always tend to reoccur. I mean, you're going to, on the road against the Nets. Do you really want him to play? You're already a one-win team anyway. I guess you do, but
at the same time, do you want to risk it down the line?
Well, you better start winning at some point.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. It just depends on how worried you are about how impactful the first 15% of the season means to you. Because, you know, if you feel like you're not the Warriors, okay? Because the Warriors take injuries and give guys time off and go, hey, if Houston has a better record than us, we're just going to prove that we can win on the road. Now, they got lucky that they were down and Chris Paul pulled a hamstring. But they have obviously a roster and the ultimate confidence to believe they can do whatever needs to be done. Rockets aren't that way. You know, they're not built that way because they don't have the four bona fide all-star, superstar, scoring, you know, defender, whatever they got. You don't have that.
Yeah.
They've got 2.5, basically.
Who's the half?
I mean, if you're going to put Carmelo in there in terms of name recognition and previous numbers, but...
Yeah, but you got to be playing like that now. You can't be living off the past. You got to be put up. I thought you were going to say your favorite player because he has also been a huge disappointment. He got the big money. We saw the stats last year when the three of them played together. Clint Capella, to me, has been a major disappointment that no one's talking about.
Yeah, he's not playing that well.
Yeah, and the other thing that's fair or unfair, but the way society goes and judging basketball and everything else is, when I look at that team and I look at the money and the contract he just signed, I'm expecting numbers that are going to be closer to a dominant player, if not a superstar-type player. And that's not his game, as it is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if $18 million is superstar money just yet, but it's pretty close to it. He does need to produce offensively more. There's no question. He's hitting the boards when he needs to sometimes, but he is getting dominated, as we mentioned before, by a number of centers that absolutely have his way with him. But as long as the system works, I think he'll be able to produce. I don't expect Capella to get 20 points a game. I didn't expect him.
But that's unfairly the way some people think.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
I didn't expect it when he got the big contract. I didn't expect him to get 20 points a game.
Sadly, he's their leading scorer right now.
Yeah.
That just shows you where they're at. Yeah.
At 14.7 a game, he's their leading scorer. I mean, you look across the board, I'm looking at their homepage on the Rockets, and they'll tell you where they're at. Rebounds per game, they're 25th in the league. Points per game, they're 26th in the league. Assists per game, 25th. Points allowed, 20th. They're a bad basketball team right now. Not at all. Not at all.
And I kept telling people, though, too, just to finish the point on the Bezdelic thing, before they got Bezdelic, they were in those same similar positions, if not worse.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But then all of a sudden, when they had Bezdelic over a three-year period, they went from that position to last year where they were one of the top six best defensive teams in the league. Overall, one of the top three rebounding teams in the league.
Well, but adding Bezdelic helped, but also adding Mbamute and P.J. Tucker helped a tremendous amount.
And the buy-in
amount.
Plays into that,
because
too.
The year before, they were garbage, really, as defense, and he was here.
They were middle of the pack. They were 15.
That's, yeah, okay. But, yeah, adding those players, I'm all for coaching, and I get what he does, but having players like Trevor Ariza and Mbamute and P.J. Tucker on your team are going to – and Chris Paul's a decent defender, too. So getting all that added makes him – now you're missing half of those four guys.
But
makes a difference.
The ultimate point to me is you're right, because they still got to play, and obviously I'm not trying – but the thing is, you got to get everybody on that roster to buy into what the philosophies are, what the system is, and what to do when they're on the floor.
And you
got
to get them to play together.
It.
You got to get them to play – because James Ennis hasn't played with the team yet.
He's supposed to play tonight.
But then with Harden possibly out, he's not going to be playing with Harden. So the core that if you want to call it a core, you know, Harden, Paul – Carmelo,
your rotation,
Gordon.
Your rotation, basically.
Yeah. They have not played one game yet. So
and where Eric Gordon gets hurt, and that's where I was tweeting back and forth with you the other night, is he's not getting the same shots, even though he's getting the same number of shots, but they're not the same quality because he's not on the floor with the guys you're talking about. When he's on the floor with Paul and Harden, they command double teams. People collapse on him in the lane, and then it's just kick out. Eric Gordon gets to take as long as he wants to set his feet and make a shot. Now he's rushing it. He's fighting with Carmelo for shots. The second unit is just all offense, no defense, as opposed to where they were really good at stopping people last year. They got to get it straightened out, because I'll tell you this, in this next four-game stretch, and there's next six are on the road, but if we're starting to talk about on Tuesday a team that hasn't won more than two games when you face Brooklyn, Chicago, and Indiana in the next three.
That's going to be ugly.
That means that you better start sending up some flares, because now it's time to panic.
By the way, Justin Kay on Twitter let us know Lewis is a +450 on the money line for the fight. For those like the texter that asked earlier, that means you bet 100 on Derek Lewis, and if he wins, you make 450 on him.
I mean, I guess the value's there, right?
That's good. Yeah, well, yeah.
Great value.
When you talk about a puncher's chance, the fact that Derek Lewis can finish anybody – I might be all over that.
Well, Crew Bob brings up a good point, too, because the one thing about Derek Lewis is that, and obviously I'm not no aficionado to the sport, but the fact is that he is able to endure everything over the first 2.5 rounds or so,
yeah,
where other fighters kind of exhaust it all. And when they got nothing left in the tank, he finds a way to just finish.
He's done it his whole career. I just don't know how he does it, but he does it every single time. Outstanding.
And I'm taking it, obviously he's an underdog, but
yep, at plus
you guys know
absolutely
him and know this fight game better than most, so I'm interested to see how you guys see this going, because that's the one thing that I noticed too was the short turnaround time. Normally these guys get a chance to kind of detox, relax, get healthy, and then they start training, and then they get into another fight. This is pretty quick.
Yeah,
it?
I wasn't aware of the broke finger. That concerns me a little bit, but not terribly. They'll tape it up, and he'll be... I don't think that'll be an excuse. I would be more worried about his back than the finger, but I didn't know about the finger, so that's a little concerning. But
yeah.
Hey, guys, listen, if you are looking for a career change, you want to try something new, have you considered the oil and gas industry? Oh, you know, one of the biggest industries in the world, one of the major industries in this city. It's a great place. I was in the business for 15 years. It is an outstanding place to create a career and make a lot of money. And UMD Academy is offering an oil and gas basics class to get you started. This is for non-oil and gas professionals. This is to get you to understand the game early on so that when you do get a job, you can hit the ground running and advance even faster. That's the beauty of it. They have courses like Intro to Oil and Gas, IT Basics, which I wish they would have had when I was in IT and oil and gas. That would have been great. The learning curve was difficult. Upstream Drilling, Training in the Day of the Life of a Project Engineer, a Women in Engineering course, and a lot more going on over there at UMD Academy to get you geared up for a career in oil and gas. And the differentiator for UMD Academy is they commit to their students. Not just, hey, these are your classes, these are your books, all right, now good luck. No, it's so much more. Resume building, they do mock interviews with you to prepare you to go out there and interview in the oil and gas business. The career coaching once you're out there. So much more than just take these classes and good luck to you. UMD Academy takes care of their students. They want to see you succeed. It's a great business to get in. Don't miss out on your opportunity to get involved in the oil and gas business. It could be life-changing for you. I know it was for me. Sign up today. Use promo code ESPN Radio. You'll save 10% off your classes, and you'll get started into a career that can be fruitful and outstanding for you. To get started, go to umdes.com/learn. Let me say that again. umdes.com/learn. Use promo code radio, save ESPN Radio, save 10%, get started. Good luck.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.